Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Foods and Inns Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Dipali Kumari from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello and good afternoon to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining the Q2 FY26 earnings conference call of Foods and Inns Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Milind Dalal, sir, Managing Director, and Mr. Molloy Saha, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, Chief Financial Officer. So, without any further delay, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Anand Krishnan from Foods and Inns. We have with us our CEO and MD. So, as key business updates, I mean, in this particular quarter, the export market with respect to mango procurement looks highly promising. Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead, please.
Okay. The export market outlook is highly promising with demand from new customers. India's processed mango pulp has become price competitive against Mexico this year due to lower Totaburi prices. And early indications for us from contracted customers suggest strong call-offs that we can actually expect beginning December of 2025 and continuing through June of 2026. With respect to tomato, we have secured a significant volume commitment for tomato paste from a large conglomerate with dispatches scheduled to be completed by June of 2026. With respect to spray-dried powders, we are planning to expand our capacity in the same existing plant by adding a mid-sized plant with very low CapEx, and we can expect this plant to be up and running in the next 18 months. Frozen food category, global demand remains very encouraging, and Q2 FY26 volumes were up by around 39% on a YOY basis. With respect to KUSUM spices, we haven't grown, but yes, we have had a very stable performance this quarter. Our intent is to grow, but the marketing campaigns with respect to the digital are being planned, and hopefully, we should be able to do and record better performance going ahead. With respect to Tetra Recat, we have had slow offshoots with respect to repeat orders as well as new orders from different geographical countries around the world. And Russia being a main market in this, wherein we have actually been able to add new clients as well as add newer geographies within Russia, and newer retailers as well is looking very promising for us. Apart from which, we have also opened doors for Tetra Recat in the Canadian as well as North American market. Hopefully, this is one segment that should start contributing really well in FY27 is what we think. In this particular year, we are expecting around 5 crores of revenue in Tetra Recat, which might not be great, but we expect this to actually accelerate as days progress. And this is as far as what the visibility is concerned as of today, but I mean, we continue to talk, and we expect that this should actually increase, the momentum should increase going forward. In this particular quarter, we had an MTM forex loss of around 5.5 crores because of currency fluctuations on outstanding exposures. This is just an accounting mark-to-market impact and is not a realized cash loss. That's it from our end. I hand over the call back to the moderator for further questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Param Vora from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. So, sir, as you are already incurring capex to increase the capacity, so is there any plan to expand the product portfolio as well, like adding new products?
So with respect to newer products in the last 3-4 years with the same plant, with minor modifications, we have actually added a chili, garlic, tomato, papaya, banana and all those products. Last year in November, December 2025, we actually added a capacity for tomato pulping, which, the same plant can be used for a banana pulping as well. So the product portfolio definitely is increasing, as well as the offerings of our different plants are also increasing. So we might be able to see better traction apart from mango in the other products as we have actually increased capacity.
Okay. And sir, regarding revenue concentration, your revenue comes from top 10 customers around 60%. So is there any plans to diversify customer base?
That's always the plan wherein we look out for new customers, and as we have already communicated in our investor note as well as in the conference call opening remarks, we have actually got a lot of fresh inquiries coming through from different countries and newer customers this year, especially because the prices of mango has actually gone down. So we have become very cost competitive as compared to what Mexico was. So it's very promising signs as of now.
Yeah, this is Milan Dalal, MD and promoter. As you would see, the history of this company is that we are in this business for the last 50 years. And while we have a client base which is minimum a decade old or maybe more, that doesn't stop us from doing new businesses. So we keep adding customers, but currently most of our clients are kind of Fortune 500 companies in India and abroad, and we will continue to increase our hold over the other areas.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from the line of Arnav Sakhuja from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is with regards to the gross profit per ton. So correct me if I'm wrong, but the gross profit per ton fell by around 6% year on year this quarter. So if you could just give some sort of guidance as to why that happened, like how come it fell?
So with respect to the numbers that we have actually published, so if you actually see the tonnage numbers that have been given, based on that, if I were to actually calculate the gross profit per kg, it's actually grown on a YOY basis, wherein it's around 38.1 rupees per kg as compared to 37.2 rupees per kg. But what you also need to understand, which we have repeatedly told over various calls, is that this number is a blended number of volume that we are giving, whether it is frozen food, whether it is tomato, whether it is mango or the other products that we actually do. So it might not give you a direct correlation with respect to what has grown or not grown. It's a function of the product mix. But having said that, since you actually brought up this topic, on a YOY basis in the quarter, the profit per kg has actually grown.
Okay. And, so what is the total amount of capex that we're expecting to do for FY26?
As of today, there is no major, this is Molloy Shah. As of today, there is no major capex plan. However, we are exploring multiple options, and if as and when anything will crystallize, we will come to you. But otherwise, there will be a normal capex for maintenance and some automation. That is all in the plan.
And a few quarters ago, we had spoken about a tentative target of reaching around 1,800 crores of revenue by FY27. So are we broadly on track to achieve this goal, or is it looking a little difficult at this stage?
Arnav, with respect to the 1,700-1,800 crore turnover, even in the previous conference call, we actually clarified on this point, wherein the 1,700-1,800 crore was taken based on the raw material prices which were prevalent a couple of years ago, right? Our business is a function and a pass-through of the raw material price. So the sales price or the sales value might differ from what 1,700-1,800 crores is, but our intent and our efforts are to actually ensure that the number of tons that we actually sell increases. So with respect to that, with respect to tonnage, we are on track. And as I've also explained time and time again over the various calls, the gross profit per kg on a product-wise basis is something that we try to improve on a year-on-year basis. So tonnage plus gross profit per kg might help us with better absolute gross profit, better absolute EBITDA, and better absolute PAT. So that's with that. But the top line is something that you should not take it as sacrosanct.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions, and best of luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Next question is from the line of Kushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hi,
sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So my question is on your absolute margin on EBITDA side. Like, we have grown our volume 25%.
Your voice is not clear. It's
hello. Now, hello. Now is it clear?
Better.
Yeah, so my question is on your absolute number of EBITDA. Our turnover grew, volume grew around 25.7% year-on-year in this quarter, but our EBITDA in absolute term degrowth of 2.1%. So what was the key reason of such a degrowth on year-on-year basis? Since I have counted your 5 crores of forex loss and adjusted the EBITDA, it comes around 23.10 crores. With this 23.59 crores in last quarter. So what was the key reason of that?
So, apart from the outs, one is the MTM forex loss that you have yourself explained. Second is basically our other expenses have actually increased, if you can actually see. But what has also happened is that our capacities, in-house capacities have actually grown over the last couple of years because of the capex that we did under the PLI and apart from the PLI as well. So because of that, the in-house production has actually gone up this year. And that in-house production has actually other elements of the crude ripening charges and all those things which are actually involved in that, which has actually pushed up the other expenses. But if you actually see it on a basis of production cost per kg, the production cost per kg has actually come down. So what will actually happen is that once the sales actually happens, basically the inventory cost would be lower and the profitability would be higher. So that's one of the reasons that's actually contributed to the lower EBITDA.
So what kind of expenses in the other expense that has gone up?
I mentioned, right, so in-house production related, whatever direct expenses are there, that has actually gone up because of the capacity which has increased in-house.
As well as MTM losses.
MTM losses, probably.
And also the freight, export freight and warehousing charges in overseas market has increased in absolute term due to the higher export sales volume, because volume has increased. So absolute term is increased, but if you consider the per metric ton basis, it is decreased by around 6-7%.
And sir, in your results, you have mentioned that you have secured certain orders in tomato. So what kind of in amount can you clarify on that?
It will be around 75-90 crore in between, because price yet to finalize. Because in our industry, what Mr. Anand has already clarified many times, that we work on the cost plus model, where the food price to be finalized once the season is over. So tomato production has started. So volume be able to ensure, but the pricing to be fixed in the month of sometime in November, December or January, once we have a more visibility on the pricing, it will be between 75 to 90 crores.
And so our initial target for this financial year 26 is around 130 to 140 crores on tomato business. So are we aligned with this?
Yes, we'll be, I think this year looks like that we'll be slightly higher than that. Not this financial year, I'm trying to say tomato crop starts in the month of October. So if we see October to October, yes, we'll be higher than what we targeted.
So what is our guidance for financial 26 this year for tomato?
FY26 season. Let us come back to you with the numbers, because I mean what we have computed is basically based on the orders that we have, but the call-offs are not exactly placed honestly. So we are targeting somewhere between 80 to 90 odd crores. It, I mean earlier we had mentioned about 120 crores, I know, but maybe this year shipment might be only around 80-90 crores.
80-90 crores, okay. And sir, can you please give me the breakup of the revenue in our key segment and H1 financial 26, because currently we don't have the presentation, so we cannot see that.
So we generally don't give this breakup. It's only in the annual reports that we provide this number.
Okay. Okay. And what amount of capex are we planning? Like we have mentioned that in the next 18 months, we'll do some capex in spray drying.
So, with respect to spray drying, is very low. Maybe around less than 5 crores is what we would be actually spending for the third plant that we are talking about. But with respect to other capex, as in nothing is concrete as of now. Once we materialize on anything, we will definitely keep you in the loop.
We have excess capacity on the utilities. Like the boiler and lot of other things. So a very small machine will take care of 100% optimization of all the utilities. And because the order book position is strong, we believe that the third unit of the spray drying would make sense.
And sir, in the Kusum segment, we have mentioned that we'll grow around at least 30 to 40%. But our year, quarter on quarter, year on year seems to be flattish. So what kind of challenges we are facing in executing in this particular segment?
So, I mean, we have not been able to immediately get traction basically because there are established brands in the market. But having said that, we continue to recalibrate our strategies, and the latest decision that we have actually taken is that we are going to do a lot of digital push, because the older generation is accustomed to a few masalas, but the newer generations are happy to try. We, as a company, can the only USP that we actually have is in certain blends as well as the quality that we actually give. Everybody can claim about quality, but then, I mean, we also claim basically because of the confidence that we have. Having said that, digital-related strategies are something that we have on our mind, and that's something that we are planning to execute soon. So hopefully we should be able to see through some numbers going forward. Better numbers.
In current financial year, our target is at least 30 to 40%. So are we aligned with this?
Your voice is breaking.
I'm saying that our current target is around at least 30 to 40% growth in this segment. So are we aligned to this?
Good. So, in this particular year, it's been flat is what we've actually seen until now, but this December quarter onwards, there is a particular order that we are actually executing with a large client. It's not a B2C part, but a B2B part, which is actually happening. That will help us increase volumes.
Okay, sir. And can you please provide overall guidance for financial 26 in terms of volume growth and overall absolute profitability growth in this year and the next year?
So the volume growth target is something that we have set in internally at 20%, and that's for this year as well as the next year. Next year, obviously, it's a guess that we are actually doing as of now, basically because all these numbers are dependent on the availability of raw materials and various other functions actually happen. But the target internally is 20% volume growth every year.
But sir, the Totapuri prices have fallen significantly. So are we expecting significant profitability growth in the next financial year 2027 as we liquidate the current inventory that we have procured in this year?
Our model is basically a pass-on model because most of our contracts are fixed in nature. So the pricing reduction in my raw material cost will not actually affect too much of profitability. It is only that the tonnage increase and the absolute gross profit might increase because of the tonnage.
But sir, the cost plus margin, the component of the margin would be fixed, na? So that's why I'm saying if the growth would be there, so the profitability could be proportionately in absolute term should be a significant growth.
No. So my margin per kg is fixed, right? So that is something that we try to improve on a year-on-year basis. But my processing cost is something that is based on the fruit price.
So if there is a volume growth significantly in the upcoming year and our per kg price margin is fixed, so can't we see the absolute terms, the profitability would grow?
Absolute terms is something that we will grow. It's something that I'm repeating again and again.
So what is our target, sir, for this year and the next year in absolute terms?
So we don't want to be giving you any guidance on the pricing part of it, but as I told you, I mean, the absolute numbers will increase basically because of the 20% increase in tonnage that we are expecting.
Similar kind of growth can we expect in this profitability?
We hope to.
Okay, sir. For answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Amish Kanani from Knowise Invest Managers. Please go ahead. Yes, Mr. Amish, go with the question, please.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. Sir, congrats on a very good operating in the quarter and the demand outlook. Sir, quarter was a
Sorry, sir. The voice is not clear. It's slightly breaking.
Okay, I'll just quickly change the position. I'm saying this quarter, sir, was a quarter. Is it better now?
Yeah, it is better.
Better? Yeah.
Yeah.
So sir, this quarter is a classic quarter where volume growth was very decent, but the pricing has kind of resulted in a relatively lower value growth. And because of that, the other expenses have gone slightly higher, and we couldn't benefit from the operating level, so as to speak. The question, sir, is given that we have first quarter volume growth of 15%, and we are hoping that overall year should go into 20% growth, and maybe third and fourth quarter is better for us in general, and also PLI benefits kicking in. Sir, any sense that you can give us on terms of whether because of this, the operating leverage at least will help us, and our profitability also will be? I'm not looking for numbers here, but whether operating leverage will help us in terms of profit, posting some decent PBT and EBITDA margins also, sir?
With respect to tonnage growing, the operating leverage definitely comes in, and we are hopeful that we will be able to better what we did the last year.
Okay. So sir, is it fair to assume that 20% growth for full year means second half, the numbers can be better than 20 plus on a second half to second half basis, sir?
It's always like that, wherein my Q4 and Q1 actually do the heavy lifting, so you can expect great numbers there for sure.
Sure, sir. And sir, about the export outlook, if you can give us some sense of there were issues in U.S., and I remember we said we had 10% exports to U.S. So despite that, our export performance and volume terms is good. If you can give us some sense of outlook overall in terms of exports, and also if you can also share possibility of PLI benefit, should we get it in the fourth quarter, which is what we regularly get, which will help us model the second half better, sir.
I'll give the first answer on the export. Yes, you are correct, which you mentioned in our investor note also. We are looking at export market quite promising, and there was an initial hiccup when this tariff issue announced, but over a period of time, we have seen that it has been, I think the cost, increase in cost due to tariff must have been absorbed at the consumer level in the destination countries. But in fact, our U.S. sale, except one customer, which is still on hold, all other shipment is going in very fast pace, and we have got also additional order. So that's the positive part as far as U.S. is concerned. Now, in the Europe market, in the beginning of this financial year, that is in the first quarter, it was very depressed. But now, last 45 days, we see a very good demand or inquiries on not only on the mangoes, on other products like in frozen category products or tomato or all these things is quite encouraging. So we see a good opportunity from the Europe countries also. We also exploring the new geographical new places where earlier we have not had any business. So that's also giving some opportunity to us. And Russia is something we are seeing very promising now. For last 6 months, we see good demand on the food processing industry from India. So I think already we have executed few orders also in pipeline, and business is likely to grow. So overall, quite bullish we are on this export market. Regarding the PLI, it is generally in the financial year, next financial year, yes, we are, as per the scheduled terms and everything, our application to submit in next, say, 2 to 3 weeks time, and then there will be some review at the authority level, and then the disbursement take place. So we won't be able to comment on the timeline, but yes, we are quite hopeful that it should be in this financial year.
So historically, I mean, in the first year when we received our incentives, we received it on the 31st of March. The second year, it spilled over to the next year in the month of June. Hopefully, we should be able to receive it on time this time around.
Okay. And so last question, from a logistic perspective, this delayed rain, you know, at least on the western part of India, is it affecting us in any way, or we should assume that those things are manageable at this point in time, sir?
On the shipment or export, there is no effect. It's going. But yes, that has affected the extended rain, is definitely affected the Indian beverages industry. I'm not sure whether you're able to see or not. About 15 days ago, Coca-Cola CEO, US-based CEO, he has already given a statement that initially due to India-Pakistan war issue and then extended rain, their overall volume target they are not able to achieve. And since we are also the majors, I mean, sizable supply we do the Coke, Pepsi, both, so our pulse supply also affected. So rain some extent affected our domestic supply, but yes, for export, we have no issue as of now.
Sure. Thanks a lot for this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivani from Goyal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thank you so much. My first question is related to your new product development and that initiatives are underway. And how are you responding to the changes in consumer preferences globally?
Sorry, can you just repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. So my question is related to your new product development initiatives which are underway, and how are you responding to the changes in consumer preferences globally?
Yes, good point. I think we see lot of trends on the health related product. We see new product like vegan on the frozen sector. On the beverage segment, alternative to sugar, on the less carbohydrate product, these are the new things are coming, and gluten free, another segment is doing well. So I think thanks for raising this question in the forum. So our NPD team is working, I think, for more than 9 months or maybe a year on developing joint development with the customers. Few products, 3-4 products I think we already launched in Canada market through a big supermarket called Loblaws, and now couple of products under pipeline in US with the Whole Foods, another big supermarket. So it's doing quite well. Initially volume may not be very high because consumer acceptance, and that will take a little time. But the brands for whom we are packing, they are very, very hopeful that this business can do a, it can do a, I mean, the scale of operation may increase very soon. So it's going quite well, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And great, sir. And my next question is that there is a, just wanted to understand the reason for your focus on non-pulp value-added segment. And is there any impact on your profitability?
No, our focus is not on non-pulp. We are into all these part of it, but instead of concentration on a single mango pulp, in pulp also we have expanded in tomato, where we have become competitive in India, and it's a kind of, used to be 4 or 5 years back, imports from China, and now we are very competitive from a perspective in India. And the acceptance of frozen foods, the acceptance of multiple other products that we are into is definitely going to help. So as a strategy, it's just a kind of the product mix to be right to ensure that we grow quite healthy.
Okay, okay. And so my last question would be, I just wanted to understand if you could throw some light on your Pectin, Guava and Kusum brand, also the procurement price currently for tomato, mango and guava.
So the procurement price is something that we don't disclose, basically because it's a data that is shared only with our customers. And a lot of the large customers have direct access because there are widely published reports like the Transcraft reports, which are actually available for each and every mandi in India. So only with respect to the southern market, which is a very public information this year, wherein the Totapuri prices fell to around 8 rupees a kg. So that is something that is publicly available, and we might be at ease to actually share that with you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Kapil Ahuja from Equinox Capital Ventures. Please go ahead. Yes, Mr. Kapil, go with the question, please.
Yeah, hi, can you hear?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah, hi, Milanji. Hi, Anandji.
Hi, Kapil.
I'm really satisfied with the tonnage growth that you have achieved of around 25.7% year-on-year in mango. But regarding other segments like tomato or guava, You had earlier in September 2024 in our conference, you had given the guidance
cracking,
of 200.
Can you just improve your, I don't know, are you on a mobile or it's slightly cracking, but.
Yeah, now it's audible?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, regarding tomato and guava, so you had given a good guidance in 2020. For 2026 in September 2024 Bharat Conference of Arihant. So you have given a guidance of around 100 crore in guava, and seeing that there is not much volatility unlike mango, so what guidance are you giving for mango, guava and tomato? Tomato you have given around 130-140 crore, and regarding guava?
Kapil, I think there is some confusion that you have. I think with respect to guava, we have never committed around 100 odd crores. So what we had actually told you was with respect to tomato in and around that number. So maybe there's some confusion.
Okay. So what are we expecting in guava this year?
I like to highlight that last year due to crop failure, we had really suffered a lot. This year, very good crop, and our production is already surpassed last year total production on guava, and three more months we will get the season. So this year we are expecting that we will be approximately guava growth will be more than 100% compared to last year. And in absolute figure, it's very difficult to say at this stage, as we repeatedly highlighting that crop price or final price to be determined once the season is over. But in the range of, I can say around between 35 to 45 crore range, approximate should be the total crop finished goods value likely to be against the previous year, 25 crores.
Okay. And in spray diet, we have also been done definitely well. But in frozen foods and cooked spices, also we have done poorly. Because in FY26, for guidance, we have told you 100 crore top line from cooked spices. But there is no growth in last 2-3 years in cooked spices. So, can't we change the strategy for the sale of the spices in blends and more traction into the Shreyoka Doreka segment, or maybe more marketing, different strategies for marketing in Kusum spices, because we are lagging behind from the last 2-3 years. Earlier, from 2021 to 2023, you did everything very good. But from last 3 years, there is no progress in Kusum spices sales numbers.
Yeah, you're right, Kapil, that we are struggling with Kusum, but I think you're not getting it right as far as frozen is concerned. We have grown in the frozen segment, and as Anand earlier in the queue, he mentioned that, you know, we have now shifting our strategy to go into digital marketing, because the old generation are quite stuck on to the brands that they're using, but the newer markets, the younger generation and all, can be in the right way influenced with products. The quality has passed tests at all levels, so that is not a concern. It's just the message reaching to the ultimate consumer that, you know, here is Kusum, a 50-year-old brand, and it's offering everything is there. It's just kind of the right conveyance, and you should target, and you should soon get to see it in the social media as well.
What will be our guidance for 26 in frozen?
Frozen for 26, last year it is 68 per annum.
Yeah.
This year we are targeting around, I think it should be in the between 90 to 105 somewhere it should be. It's growing.
Then in FY24 you take 46, I think. And then 68, now you are targeting.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thank you, Kapil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hey, sir, I have one follow-up question. I have seen your cash flow wherein intercorporate deposits has risen around 14 crore. So what was the reason of these deposits?
We have always explained to you that we do a part of our business through the contract manufacturing part as such. So there are two components to it. The newer capacities that we have actually tied up with, a few of them actually had working capital issues, including us, and we also had working capital issues because of the nature of the business as such. But we had to give them security deposits, which is through an escrow account, which is interest-bearing, and based on which they could actually secure working capital to finish the orders that we had actually given them. So that's with respect to the ICDs that you actually see there. Apart from which, we have also given them advance for the material that we have secured with them. So these are the two components to it.
And sir, what amount of margin money have we given to the bank in regarding working capital?
No, we have not given it to the bank. We have given it to the contract manufacturer to take advantage of these price advantage. You know, each company, this is a perishable commodity, and the fruit came up quite, it was like falling from the tree. Unlike the previous years where we had a time frame of 7 to 8 days for it to ripen and process, these had to be processed kind of between 3 to 4 days as an average, and in fact we have been commended by the local authorities, the Andhra Pradesh government also, for having participated in their program. So it was just getting in procurement of higher volumes, and we are also seeing currently the sales are reflecting, and we will become quite competitive in the export market as well. And it is not that we have given it to the banker. It is through the manufacturer as a security deposit for them to operate at higher levels.
And like you said, sir, it is interest-bearing. So what kind of interest are we charging on this?
12%.
12%. And sir, I have a question on your Tetra record. Like you said that we are expecting around 200 metric ton initial order. So what kind of amount are we expecting from this segment?
In FY26, in the opening remarks, I mentioned that as of today, the visibility in Tetra Recart is only for 5 odd crores as we speak today with respect to confirmed orders that we actually have in this year. But, I mean, obviously we are talking to a lot of guys and maybe something comes through very soon. But as of now, the visibility is only towards up to 5 crores.
And how much revenue we have generated so far from this segment?
In this particular year?
Yeah.
Around 2 crores.
Around 2 crores. Okay, sir, thank you for answering the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Gori, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please guide some development on the packaging side and the Tetra Recart, as you said, that the current turnover was 2 crore. So what would be the maximum turnover in case the capacity utilizations are quite higher in future? Thank you.
With respect to the Tetra Recart question first, as in on a full-scale utilization basis, we have an infrastructure which is built for more 4 machines that we can actually put in the same hall. But with the current machine and the current infrastructure that we have, we can get to around 80 to 90 odd crores. And your question on pectin was the first one, right? So with respect to pectin, we have already submitted our formulations and the product to the customers. So it's not an overnight process wherein these large brands do not change their formulations immediately. The product is approved, the product is accepted, but they need to go through their formulation change, post which they confirm orders. So we have given our samples that the audit is okay. I mean, we are just waiting to know as to when they would actually need their, orders in place so that we could actually go ahead and supply it to them. So that's where we are.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 to ask questions. Participants may press star and 1 to ask question.
If there are no further questions, we can actually close the call.
Okay, sir. So there are no further questions from the participants. I would now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much for all your queries. We hope to give you better value in the coming quarters. It's an obligation that we have, and we are committed to giving you the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.